too many leaders are thinking entirely project-based. They're hoarding talent. They're not thinking about developing their people. And you want to be the type of leader that is really focused on developing people and enabling them, empowering them to succeed. And when you do, they're going to remember you.
Hello and welcome to the Daily Helping with Dr. Richard Schuster. Food for the brain, knowledge from the experts, tools to win at life. I'm your host, Dr. Richard. Whoever you are, wherever you're from, and whatever you do, this is the show that is going to help you become the best version of yourself. Each episode, you will hear from some of the most amazing, talented, and successful people on the planet who followed their passions and strive to help others. Join our movement to get a million people each day to commit acts of kindness for others. Together, we're going to make the world a better place. Are you ready? Because it's time for your Daily Helping. Thanks for tuning into this episode of the Daily Helping Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Richard, and our guest today is awesome. He's so awesome, actually, he's coming back to the show. If you missed my first interview with Andy Storch, check out episode 182. It's worth a listen to be sure. But Andy Storch is known worldwide as a keynote speaker, connector, podcaster, and author of two books, including Own Your Career, Own Your Life, and his latest book, which we're going to talk about today, Own Your Brand, Own Your Career, which he co-authored with Mike Kim. Andy works with organizations to teach and inspire professionals to own their brands and careers to achieve more success in the future. Just a few of his notable clients include Intuit, NetApp, Autodesk, Tiffany & Co., Campbell's Soup, Salesforce, Oracle, Google, Red Bull, and countless others. He's also the host of two podcasts, including the Talent Development Hot Seat and the Own Your Career Show. Andy is also a husband, father, cancer survivor, expat who's on a mission to get the absolute most out of life and inspire others to do the same. I'll add one more to that, friend, and I'm grateful he's mine. Andy, welcome back to the Daily Helping Podcast. It is awesome that you're with us today.
Well, Dr. Richard, thank you so much for having me back. It's an honor to be back here and just so good to see you, to hear your voice, to catch up with you. I know we've known each other for several years now. We've both been through health challenges and many other things, but we're still here. We're alive. We're kicking, as you said before we started recording, grateful for every day and every opportunity. And I'm grateful for this one.
Absolutely. As am I. And it's crazy, as I said before we hit the record button, 5 years, almost to the day from when your first interview on my show aired. And a lot has transpired for both of us. So I'm not going to spend a ton of time on the This Is Your Life Andy Storch show, but for those who haven't heard your superhero origin story, tell us a bit about what put you on this path you're on today.
Well, I grew up in a humble beginning. So I had a meandering career where I spent many years trying to figure out what it was that I wanted to do, bouncing from job to job and sort of drifting for many years through my career. I got very lucky. In 2010, I got a job with a really cool consulting firm called BTS, and I got a chance to travel all over the country and the world running workshops for big companies and on things like leadership, strategy, business acumen. And I learned a lot about what great strategy looks like, what great leadership looks like. And I also observed a lot of people kind of drifting through their careers, as I had in my own, operating in reaction mode, waiting for other people to tell them what to do or where to go. And I kind of filed that away. And then in 2016, when I was in my mid-30s, I went on a personal development journey after I listened to a podcast and read a book called The Miracle Morning, which I know you're very familiar with as well, Dr. Richard, by Hal Elrod. Completely changed my life. And it's just all about getting up earlier than you need to, starting your day with intention, doing things like meditation, reading affirmations, visualization, journaling, etc. And I started meditating. I started reading a lot more, started journaling, and spending a lot more time really thinking about what I wanted to do and where I wanted to go with my career and with my life, and trying to build a career and a business around my strengths and things I love to do. And as I did that, I realized that I had a framework that could be helpful for others, which was the framework I used to publish my first book called Own Your Career, Own Your Life, which came out 5 years ago in November 2020. And since then, I've been on a mission to build a business around that book and that teaching as a keynote speaker and as a trainer. And I've also learned a lot in that time about building a personal brand. And as I was building what you might call a personal brand business, I talked to a lot of people in the corporate space and found a lot of people who were benefiting and growing their careers from building a strong personal brand in the work that they were doing. And so it's something that I was starting to think more and more about. And then my mentor and friend, Mike Kim, asked me 2 years ago if I wanted to do a book with him about building your personal brand for corporate professionals, which became the book that we just released in September called Own Your Brand, Own Your Career. And what's been really cool for me as I've studied this as an entrepreneur and talked to individuals about it is seeing companies shift and change and come around to this idea of supporting people in building a personal brand because it can benefit them and their careers, how they show up at work, and it can benefit the organizations as well when they are, you know, showing up more professionally and attracting better talent to the organization. So that's been, you know, the big thing lately. Along the way, I'm working with lots of companies on things like career development, leadership, getting into some stuff with AI, because who isn't, right? And just studying what's going on in the business and the world and trying to make sure that I'm still relevant and providing value to clients and people out there in the marketplace.
So there's so much I love about what you shared. And I actually had forgotten, because it was the same thing for me. And I've told Hal Elrod this, that his book absolutely changed my life. And if not for that book, I'm not sure I would be. I didn't recall that you had the same revelation.
Yeah.
But as you're telling me about kind of the impetus as to why you and Mike wrote your new book and some of the things that you're hearing, I find your experience particularly interesting and insightful because you've spent a lot of time kind of on that tightrope walking back and forth between personal brand and the corporate side. And for many, many years, I know the corporate world would have shut things like that down because they wanted to control this bubble. I remember at my first job, my first corporate job, I got in trouble because I took home a development kid and wanted to make something, and it would have benefited the company. Like, I just thought it was a good idea, but nobody authorized that. Who are you to do that? But now companies are realizing that if their employees can create a personal brand, it shines a positive light on the organization.
Yeah, absolutely. And you can't blame them for not quite seeing it before. I had that experience as well. I mean, for years, I've been creating content pretty regularly on LinkedIn for probably about 7 or 8 years. And I can't tell you the number of times people told me, I see your content on LinkedIn. I just don't ever like it or comment because I don't want my boss to see that I'm on LinkedIn, that I'm using it, because they'll think I'm looking for a new job, right? That's shifted now. Corporate employees, I work with a lot of people in learning development, talent development space. They tell me all the time, oh, I spend a lot of time on LinkedIn. It's where I learn what's going on. It's where I connect with people in my space. So that's definitely changed. I had an experience many years ago as I was getting into all of this. I worked for a consulting firm and I had started my first podcast, which was about entrepreneurship because I wanted to learn as much as I could because I wanted to become an entrepreneur. But I had the idea that, like, we could start a podcast where we interview clients and talk about the work that we're doing in this training / consulting firm. And so I went to our chief marketing officer at the time and I made this pitch, we should start a podcast. And his initial response was, what's a podcast? Like, I don't really know what that is, right? This was 2017 probably. So it was some years ago. And then my boss, who I was working in business development, effectively told me, like, we don't need to waste time on that. Get back to work. And then I was still sharing things online. I was getting into more personal brand stuff. And people in the firm started questioning my dedication to the firm, which I totally understand where they're coming from. It can look like I'm really distracted because there never was a clear plan for how does this add value to the firm. But imagine if we had come together and said, hey, Andy's got these skills. He's doing this stuff out in the marketplace. If we support this, maybe he can help us get more clients. I think they absolutely could. Instead, I left. I started that podcast on my own. It's helped me build a brand, a conference, a community, get clients. And I still have a partnership and such good relationship with people in that firm that I work for. So I'm not trying to say anything bad about them. It's just that times have changed, right? And now we see companies, they do have a podcast now, right? And they do more stuff on social media. And a lot of companies are. And what was an interesting turning point for me is just as I was publishing this book in September, I got hired by a really large defense contractor with over 100,000 employees who you would see as sort of a, you know, quote, old school or traditional company doing a career week. They asked me to come in and speak to all their employees about building your personal brand. And if a company like that is on board and interested in speaking to their employees about personal brand, then, you know, you can imagine everybody coming around and seeing the value in that. And when you think about personal brand from an internal perspective, of course, personal brand is essentially your reputation. It's what people think about you, say about you. Everybody has a brand, whether you're intentional about it or not. And when you think about it from an internal perspective, you work with a team, you work for a company, it's about how you're showing up and how you're interacting with others and how they perceive you, right? Because we're judging or making these judgments about each other all the time. Like, I had this conversation with Dr. Richard. We had a meeting. Would I want to meet with him again? Would I want to work with him again? Right? People are saying that about you. And so I think that we can't control what other people think about us or say about us, but we can certainly influence that in how we are showing up and start to be really mindful about the brand that we're building and the reputation that we're building and what we're portraying out there.
And I also love the fact that because you speak and Mike speaks to both entrepreneurs and employees, I feel like everybody's an entrepreneur, right?
Yeah.
If they have a W-2 job, they just have one client versus if they're an entrepreneur, they have many. But you're able to help people build this brand, which they can keep their W-2 job, but now can create additional streams of revenue and enhance their lives. So I'm loving this. And when you talked about the defense contractor, I couldn't help but think of Bob Berg. Bob Berg was really the guy who kicked the pendulum, right? And created this sea change to where corporations needed to be doing good and not just making money. And it was an absurd idea in the corporate world in the late 90s when the Go Giver came out. But now, if you don't have a mission-focused business, people don't want to work for you. It's refreshing to hear that even, like you said, an old school defense contracting company starting to see the value in this. And you and Mike, of course, are at the forefront of this. So if somebody's listening to this and they're like, Andy, yes, I'm excited. I want to start my own personal brand. I have no idea how in God's name I'm going to do it. Where do we start? How do we kick that off?
Absolutely. And I love that you referenced Bob Berg, who wrote The Go-Giver, obviously has got a lot of people, especially in the sales space, to think differently about how they're showing up and how they're, you know, interacting with others. And actually, this is close to a year ago. I was back in Florida, where I'm from, and I had lunch with Bob Berg because he lives down there in South Florida, and it was just such an amazing guy. Where do you start? So when I run these workshops, and of course, the book has lots of questions and exercises. We have a free workbook on our website that you can go download with lots of questions at ownyourbrandbook.com. You can download that for free and get some of the questions. But I like to start by asking people just to define who you are today. Write down the words I am, and you would love this, you know, with all your background with assessments, Dr. Richard, but I am for the blank space, and then all the ways you associate yourself or identify yourself. Everybody starts out as a son or daughter, right? Maybe a brother or sister, an aunt or uncle, father or mother. But are you a friend? Are you an expert in a certain space? Are you a speaker, a podcaster, a spreadsheet master, whatever it is? Like, I'm, you know, for me, cyclist, expat, cancer survivor, you mentioned earlier, like lots of different ways, writer, author, et cetera, you identify yourself. And then the next step is to start writing down, what are the things that you want to be known for? What do you want your reputation to be? If someone is introducing you in a meeting, what do you want them to say, right? Jennifer is really reliable. John is an expert in, I don't know, marketing planning. Do you want to be known as collaborative, as helpful, as reliable? I had a client tell me he wanted to be known as the person who could get things done. For me, it's about being known as helpful, generous, kind, inspirational, motivational, you know, especially as a keynote speaker, someone who's a really good communicator. I want to be known as these things. And this will evolve over time. Start to be cognizant and intentional about what you want to be known for. And then you can start asking the question on a regular basis, am I showing up in alignment with that brand, right? I said I want to be known as helpful. This is the Daily Helping Podcast, after all. I want to be known as helpful. When you look back on your week on Friday afternoon, was I helpful this week? Actually, somebody sent me an email asking me for help and I ignored it because I was, you know, I was lazy. I didn't want to, right? Am I living in alignment with my brand? And being helpful is a great brand to aspire to, because what do people remember about us, right? That there's that famous quote from Maya Angelou, people may forget the things you say or do, but they'll always remember the way you made them feel. And I think the way we build a legacy, which is the next level from brand and reputation, our legacy is what people remember when we leave our job, we leave our city, we leave this earth, however you think you're going to be doing that. what people remember is how you made them feel, right? How you treated them, how you helped them. I especially bring this up when I'm talking with leaders, because too many leaders are thinking entirely project-based. They're hoarding talent. They're not thinking about developing their people. And you want to be the type of leader that is really focused on developing people and enabling them, empowering them to succeed. And when you do, they're going to remember you for a long time. We all have those leaders that we've worked with that have, you know, most of us, I ask people like, who's that leader that really helped you grow in your career? And I have one, and a lot of other people do too. And you never forget that person who truly helped you in your career. So can you be someone who is really helping others as well? So what do you want to be known for? And then what are some actions you can take on a regular basis to show up in alignment with that brand, to develop your brand, especially if you want to be known as an expert in an area? How are you showing up internally? And then the next thing would be the external side. You know, are you, what does your profile say on LinkedIn? Are you sharing content in alignment with that brand so that you can start to become seen as a thought leader within whatever your subject matter expertise is?
Hey guys, Dr. Richard here. For the past 7 years, I've been privileged to bring you incredible guests who are changing the world and can help you become the best version of yourself. I'm really excited to share with you a new quiz that I created based on my clinical training that will curate for you a custom list of my top episodes and actionable strategies to help you wherever you are on your journey. All you need to do is go to drrichardschuster.com to take it, and it's 100% free. You'll be taking the next step on the journey to unlocking the power of you, and I can't wait to see where you'll go. What I'm finding interesting about this, Andy, is that exercise. I am a son. I am a father. I am, all these things. You're, in a roundabout way, getting at values. You're not exactly saying values, right?
Yeah.
But when you're talking about, am I helpful? And did I ignore an email about somebody asking for help? In asking the question, is that in alignment with who I'm trying to be? What you're really saying is the outward presentation of how I show up in the world representative of the values that I hold core to my identity? And I think that's probably the most important thing that we as human beings should be doing, particularly for those of us in business, because if you don't know who you are, if you're not rock solid foundationally in terms of what those values are, it's very hard for you to have a mission focused orientation other than just saying, just give me the money, right?
Yeah. And if you can connect that back to a purpose as well, like that why behind how you're showing up, behind your goals, what you're doing, we learned that from Hal Elrod. Just talk about that a lot. I think I started to define mine because I was following him and what he was putting together with his affirmations. But the more you connect that to a purpose, and if you work for an organization, can you connect to their purpose and mission and everything else? It becomes so much more powerful.
And I think too, because you described external, right? And you didn't say internal, but this book is taking you through this exercise of building your internal and your external presentation kind of at the same time. And they're both equally critical. What would you say, Andy, you been doing this for a really long time at a high level. What are some of the mistakes that people make when they set out to do this?
Well, I think one of the biggest mistakes now, especially if you work in a company, is trying to just stick with the one thing that you know and do, staying within your role and saying, I don't get out of my lane. So you mentioned earlier that everybody's an entrepreneur. Even if you work in a company, you just have that one client. We wrote a chapter in this new book about what we call entrepreneurship, which is the idea that you focus on being a problem solver and look for ways to add value in the organization you work for, even if they're outside of your defined role or title, right? Are there other ways? Can you anticipate the needs of your boss, your team, your company, the leadership team, what people are looking for? Because you want to find ways to stand out. And building a personal brand and being successful in your career, unfortunately, a lot of people still believe a myth that if you just work hard and do good work, then you'll be rewarded for that. And I share that with lots of people in the corporate space and they shake their head and go, yeah, that's not really true anymore. It's not about the quality of your work. That's table stakes. You do need to do quality work, but it's about who knows about that work, right? So when you ask about mistakes, it's, trying to stay in your lane and believing that, having faith that you'll be rewarded without doing any extra work to build that brand. I had a conversation not that long ago with a good friend of mine who has a pretty big team under him and a big tech company. And he said one of his biggest frustrations was that he tries to get people on his team promoted, but he goes to his bosses to get them promoted and they go, I can't promote that person. I don't know who they are. And his frustration is the people who work for him have no brand, no reputation, no, you know, they're not known by the people above him. Now you could argue that he should be helping them build that, but we as individuals also have to take ownership of that and start to think about how can I be known for the things that I'm doing, let people know about the work that I'm doing. And we were all brought up to believe humility is a really important value, to be humble. So of course, I'm never telling one to like go around bragging about everything you do. But you know this, Dr. Richard, as well, like whether you're building a business or building a career, you need to make sure that people know about your skills, about your accomplishments, about the things that you can do. Otherwise, they'll never hire you because they don't know who you are. So it's trying to stay in your lane and not, you know, making sure that you're letting people know about your work and your abilities. You've got to find a way to do that both internally. And I think it's valuable to do that externally as well, to the extent you're willing to, you know, start building a bit of a brand and putting stuff out on LinkedIn as well.
So that's creates a question about balance for me, because to the person who historically great work nose to the grindstone, they want people to know who they are, but by nature, they're humble. And so how do you walk that line? How do you, you know, step out of your lane a little bit? How do you get that exposure and still come across as a team player, not arrogant? Because that's important.
Yeah, this is the hardest part of the work I do, because I think this is more of an art than a science. And it's hard to define exactly, like, here's the formula for what you do. I often joke that I'm the king of the humble brag. And I, you know, I share a lot of posts like, I'm really honored that I get a chance to do this thing. I was just talking to a friend about this right before we got on. But I think it works because I truly believe it. You want to remain humble at your core. It's not about becoming arrogant or bragging. It's about being confident in the work that you're doing and letting people know about it. So can you have conversations, have lunches, send some emails, say, hey, we just finished this project. Here's some things we're thinking about doing next. So it's not all the attention's about, look what I did, but mentioning, we just finished this project. Here's this thing we're doing. Here's the next step. Do you want to be involved in this? Can you tell other people about this? Remaining humble. And a lot of people are afraid if they're sharing these things, they're going to be seen as arrogant. So I think the important thing is to remember who you are as a at its core. And I heard this, I don't know if you call it an adage, mantra, like a definition one time from a consulting guru I follow named Alan Weiss. And he said that the difference between confidence and arrogance is confidence is being confident, or like knowing that you bring value to the people you work with. Arrogance is thinking you have nothing else to learn. So as long as you still believe, hey, I did a good job with this, but I still have more things to learn, you're not arrogant. It's okay to let people know about that. I love talking about the work that I do because I'm proud of all of my accomplishments. And I absolutely believe I have tons of room for improvement and I'm still learning how to get better every single day.
I love that quote you shared, and it made me think of another one, which I don't know who said it, but they were right, that if you were the smartest person in a room, you need to find another room. But the way you said it, like, I'm honored to be involved in X, that's a brilliant way to position. So thank you for that, because that's an actionable, tangible, great way people can do that. As you know, I love to ask loaded questions. This one's super loaded. So if somebody is working their way progressively through the tenets of your book, what would you say for building a brand, right? If you're building it from zero, nobody knows who you are except friends and family, to being able to get some clout, how long should that process take? Now, I know obviously you could spend money and hire marketers and get yourself on the Today Show and accelerate things. But for most people that don't have the ability to do that, what's a good time frame that you could judge to where this starts to really take form?
I would spend a couple weeks starting with using reflection to build self-awareness. That's the first part, right? Are you doing some journaling, some reflecting, thinking about who you are, strengths, weaknesses, values, like you mentioned, a purpose, energizers, things you care about, things you love doing, don't like doing, what you want to do, be doing less of and more of, what you want to be known for. I would, if you have the courage, get some feedback from colleagues and friends, like, hey, what do you think my reputation is? What am I known for? And then setting that intention for how you're going to start showing up around people, it may take some time, especially if it's a bit out of your comfort zone. If you have traditionally been very closed off and you've decided you want to build a brand as someone who's a bit more collaborative and, you know, helpful to work with. And so you have to start going out of your way to ask people like, hey, what can I help you with? What are you working on? Starting to build that network. It's going to take some time, you know, probably several months, maybe a year. It's a journey as you are building these things internally. You might start, say, I'm going to start sharing a post every day on LinkedIn about AI or about software engineering, whatever is the thing that you want to be connected with your brand. In the beginning, no one's going to see those posts if you haven't really done much posting before, right? That's okay. It's about consistently showing up and, you know, you keep doing stuff and learning from it and getting better. But you'd also be surprised. I feel like it doesn't take that long sometimes to build a brand around something, to be known for something. The example I often give is I'm big into cycling. I have a bike behind me on my, you know, Zoom screen now. And before I moved, so as you know, I moved from Orlando to Barcelona 3 years ago. Before that, I had a bike. I wasn't as big into cycling, but the bike was always behind me. And people would ask me about it all the time. And I feel like I was already building this reputation as someone into cycling because the bike was in the pictures and I'd post sometimes about riding. Now I ride a lot more and I do post about it. And people know me for that. And I feel like I've built a bit of a brand. You know, that's not something that's going to help me get clients or grow in my career. But I also do advise people when you are building that brand, you're revamping that LinkedIn profile, that you do add some personal elements to it because that's how we connect with each other, right? Oh, you're into cycling. I am too. Oh, you like to bake. So do I. You know, even just, you know, we both have overcome major health challenges. I do share often about my cancer story. You know, I was diagnosed with cancer right as I was publishing that first book in 2020. And so I share some of that in my keynotes. And inevitably, like I had one this week, someone sent me a message on LinkedIn last night saying, hey, I was in the session that you were, you spoke on Tuesday. I also had testicular cancer. Curious what you learned. And it's a connection point for people, like sharing a little bit of your personal life, whether it's the challenges you've overcome, the hobbies you're into, the fact that you have kids and you're a family person, etc. Like, we are humans at our core. We want to connect with other humans and we need to find ways to do that.
Well, it speaks to authenticity, right? And I think, you know, in a world of AI where we can have Sora make videos of our dogs and our favorite movies, it provides an anchor point that we can connect with each other's humanity. So I love that. Andy Storch, I knew this was going to be a great conversation. I loved our first. I'm so grateful that we got to spend some time together today. As you know, I wrap up every episode by asking my guests just this one question, and that is, what is your biggest helping, that one most important piece of information you'd like somebody to walk away with after hearing our conversation today?
Well, for me, it's all about ownership and intention. We talked about owning your career. We talked about owning your personal brand. And the thing I always want to convey to people is that these things exist. You have a career, you have a brand, whether you're intentional about it or not. And I don't think anybody cares more about your career or your brand than you do. So you might as well own it. You know, if you're lucky, you have parents around or siblings or a partner who loves you. Maybe you have a boss who cares about you, but nobody really cares more about your career or your brand than you do. So you got to be the one to get clear on what you want that to be, to set your intention, to set your goals, to start showing up in alignment with that brand, to do the work to build your career and build your brand over time. And I've found that even though you may not achieve everything you want, we're certainly all going to face challenges, but the more intentional you are, the more ownership you take, the more fulfilling that journey is along the way. And, you know, I know you can relate to this, that it's not all about the end goal or what we're trying to achieve. The goals are great, but it's really about the journey in the end. And I want us all to have a great journey.
Absolutely well said, Andy. The book, Own Your Brand, Own Your Career, is now available everywhere. And we'll have a link to that in the show notes. But if people want to learn more about you, Andy, online, where can they find out about you?
Well, I'm everywhere. I have a podcast called Own Your Career. I'm very active on LinkedIn. And again, if you wanted to get the workbook to work through some of the things along with the book, it's at ownyourbrandbook.com.
Perfect. And we will have links for those of you in the car at the gym. We got you covered. Everything Andy Storch will be linked in the show notes at drrichardschuster.com for this episode. Andy, thank you again for coming back on. I am so excited to read your book and just grateful we got to spend some time together today.
Thank you, sir.
Absolutely. And to each and every one of you at home, thank you as well for taking time out of your day to listen to this. If you liked it, if you're inspired, go give us a follow and a 5-star review on your podcast app of choice, because this is what helps other people find the show. But most importantly, go out there today and do something nice for somebody else, even if you don't know who they are, and post in your feeds using the hashtag MyDailyHelping, because the happiest people are those that help others.